and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right.
You are all right. You don't sound very convincing.
Well, I've had another weird thing happen on my property.
Oh, God. I dread to think. What happened?
Well, I got a message from my mum the other day. And just said, I don't know if you've opened your front door yet. And I thought, that's a weird message to get to start with, isn't it? Because that's not going to be a good thing outside my front door, is it? Whatever is coming next in this message is not going to be a good thing. Because, oh, there's a massive birthday cake there for you. There's a massive present for you. There's a barbershop quartet. So it's not going to be any of those things, is it?
No. Knowing where you live as well, I think I can imagine where this is going. Can I check, is this going down a route we've been through before, which is
No.
Things being left on your doorstep?
It's sort of, but it's not the same as the things before.
Oh, well, that's at least some kind of relief, because we're not talking about that again. go on.
So anyway, I think, well, I better go and check and see what's happened. So I opened the front door, and it was like there'd been a bomb gone off at a pillow factory. The feathers. I mean, thousands of them all over my front path. It was like a covering of snow over. But the weird thing was, there was no evidence of a dead bird. The thousands of feathers, but no carcass to deal with. No corpse to deal with. Just the feathers.
So you've got a crime scene, but no victim.
Yes. I mean, I can only assume, obviously, that a fox or a cat has caught, and must have been, a massive pigeon. I mean, I mean, here's the thing. How many feathers does a pigeon, because there was more feathers there than one pigeon's worth. I'm sure there must have been like a family of pigeons that have been slaughtered. It was unbelievable. And they're still around. I sort of went out and I swept up as much as I could. I went out today. There's even a feather stuck to my car. It's just, wow. I can't get rid of the fucking feathers. And I did think, you know, because you've brought it up before. Let's not dwell on it. But there have been other things left on my doorstep, other doings, animal and others. And I think, am I being very slowly tarred and feathered? Like, is it a long, drawn-out campaign? Get enough shit in his front path, and then we can get then the feathers will stick. Just, it's like slowly tarring and feathering my house. It was unbelievable, Ben.
Now, I don't understand how this keeps happening to you, and it never seems to happen to your neighbours. It's only you.
I know. As I say, look, I can only assume the fox or the cat has caught a bird. It's had it must have been a massive tussle, and then it's obviously eaten any meat. But there wasn't any bones. I mean, this is the weird thing. You just, the amount of feathers there were, you would assume that there was no surviving the attack, and therefore there would be other evidence of death.
And you're suggesting that there might have been so many feathers that it might have been some really sort of mob hit from the foxes who thought, well, we're just going to send a message, we're going to kill you and your family.
Well, I don't believe there was one bird's worth of feathers. It was unbelievable. I mean, can you look up for me? I don't know if this is a thing you can find out. How many feathers on an average pigeon? Can you Google that for me? And see if we get ours. There were thousands. I'm not lying. Thousands of feathers. And I'm assuming that one bird wouldn't cover the number of feathers left.
Pigeon size. About.
What we need is a pigeon fancier. If only we thought this through, we could have researched and got a pigeon for.
Well, you know, I like racing my pigeons, I'll tell you. The average pigeon has somewhere in the region of 4,215 feathers.
Well, actually, you were close. It's 2,500 feathers on average pigeon.
Wow, pigeon's worth does make sense then. You know, it's a lot of feathers. They don't look that sort of feathery, do they? I mean, most of them are so manky that you wouldn't think there's that many feathers on it.
Well, the concern for me is you've said in the past that the foxes have been bringing you offerings.
Are they bringing me feathers now?
Well, no. I mean, the real worry is that in a few days, once they're done eating the flesh, you're going to end up with a sort of carcass or skeletal remains of the pigeon slowly brought back to the crime scene.
Well, I don't want that. I did have a dead pigeon once in my garden, the back garden. Again, I'm assuming had been caught by a cat. And I bagged that up and put that in the dustbin. But, you know, it's only one collection every 2 weeks now. And it was summer. The reek coming from that bin was horrific.
I would have been I know this probably isn't ethical, but I'd have been tempted just to kick it into the road. I know that your front door isn't very far from the road. I'd have just kicked it out, made it the council's problem.
No, that was when it was in my back garden, the dead bird that I had to deal with. The front part, the front garden, there was no other bits of body. I wonder if the pigeon could have survived that sort of attack. I mean, maybe there's a bald pigeon sort of hiding somewhere in Thornton Heath, because he must feel vulnerable. If you've lost basically all your feathers, you're going to feel very vulnerable from attack, not just from other foxes or cats, but I would imagine other birds would see a bald pigeon and see that as fodder.
Here's another interesting question you just raised. Can a bald pigeon still fly?
Well, the feathers must be integral to flight. We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about birds and flight, and would we be flying with... Now you want to know the science of flight. Then you were poo-pooing the whole birds and flight, and now you want to know whether... I would imagine the feathers are quite integral to fly. I don't think of...
I'm going to look it up. Yeah. I think the problem with this podcast is my search history is so bizarre.
Yeah. But what if this kickstarts a sort of hobby for you? What if by the end of this podcast, you suddenly get into pigeon fancying and you go downstairs after the recording? Mrs. Ben, how would you feel about having a pigeon coop in the garden and a number of pigeons? Then you could become a racer. I mean, there's big money in pigeon racing, mate. You could take them to France and then they have to fly home. It's a lot of money in it.
That won't be happening. I am not a fan of pigeons at all.
What if you found a love from them just by researching this sort of stuff? You suddenly thought, oh, the pigeon is more than just a flying rat.
Well, that reminds me, you just unlocked a memory of a particularly stupid girl at my secondary school who once said, oh, you know the thing about pigeons is they're just rats with legs. I thought, you've missed... Yeah, that's not how that expression goes, I don't think. I think you've missed the point.
I sort of feel like the pigeons had a bad rap, though. It's not their fault that they're so manky. It's just the mankiness of the urban setting that we've created. They're manky because they get hit by cars and they're sort of hobbling along on one leg. I tell you, there's another weird thing, just bird related. My parents were on the motorway recently and there was a massive collision on the windscreen, and it was a pheasant that hadn't been able to get enough height.
Your parents had a bird strike on the motorway.
Yes, yes. A massive pheasant obviously the pheasant wasn't going to survive. They couldn't dodge it. Lucky it didn't smash the windscreen. But my dad said it made a hell of a noise. And and he'd sort of seen it take off from the side of the motorway. But obviously it hadn't got enough height to get... And if you're travelling at 70 miles an hour, I mean, there's no coming back from that as far as the pheasant is concerned.
Absolutely not. So to answer some of your earlier questions, a pigeon... Well, sorry, this was my question, actually. A pigeon with missing feathers, especially flight feathers, may not be able to fly. However, if it's kept safe, within 6 weeks, it should grow the feathers back and will be able to fly again. So it's only got sort of 6 weeks worth of, whatever the pigeon equivalent of alopecia is to deal with. And also, you're being very... you're jumping the gun to suggest it may have been savaged by another animal. It might have been a case of overpreening by a mate or parent.
Well, that would have been a hell of a preening session to remove. That this wasn't a lovely sign of affection. The number of feathers that had come, that's not an affectionate preen. That's a savage attack. It might have started that, like some wicked sort of black widow pigeon who's lured the male in. She's one of those like serial killers, and she's, oh, come in, darling. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to preen you? And then she's ripping them out. There's the flight feathers. You'll never leave the ground again.
You're also, by the sounds of things, dismissing, I put it to you, Smalud, that this pigeon may have had a vitamin A deficiency, which can lead to feather loss.
God, do you think I should start leaving out multivitamin tablets wrapped in bits of bread?
I think so. I mean, you should do all you can to help wherever this pigeon is, because it might be somewhere cold, bald, not knowing if it's ever going to fly again, and got a possible vitamin deficiency.
I know. It needs help. Maybe I should get onto the RSPCA. But I don't know whether... Yeah, the thing is, I don't know where it is, do I? Maybe it's hiding. Maybe I should search the rest of the the front gardens along West Street, see if it's cowering something.
Well, now as well, if it's lost the flight feathers, it's a sitting duck of a pigeon.
Well, it's a sitting pigeon.
For foxes, he's got no hope.
I mean, you're using another bird as a metaphor for the pigeon.
A sitting pigeon isn't an existing phrase. It will be after this podcast.
Well, anyway, so there we are. It's another mystery. It's another thing that's, you know, my property seems to throw up these... it's always some sort of death or excrement-related incidents.
And still you won't install a Ring doorbell.
I don't think that's going to make much difference, is it? I mean, it'd be interesting to... maybe I would have seen the... But then I might have been traumatised by the savagery of the attack.
You could have done your own sort of David Attenborough-style voiceover, uploaded it to YouTube.
Yeah.
You could have been an overnight viral sensation. You could get your own TV show.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if it's just a cat catching a pigeon, and that's hardly viral-worthy footage, is it?
No, combined with your amazing voiceover skills, it could be.
Yeah, I could have made it very sort of sexy, couldn't I?
I'm not sure sexy is the angle you want to go. If you're finding that sexy watching that, there's something deeper wrong with you.
In the darkness of night, the cat approaches the pigeon. It flirts with the bird.
I've never had the impression David Attenborough is ever going for sexy. I'm never going to hear him the same again.
The man is inherently sexy. He can't help it. It's just built in. He talks, sexiness comes out. Even at 98, he's still sexy.
Blimey, is he 98? He's going well, isn't he?
He's got to make the 100. Like when the Queen went, right? And it's, you know, 2 years almost to the day as we record this that we lost Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and maybe we should take a moment just to reflect on it. But there's a
moment
day.
Silence doesn't really work very well in this format, Trev.
But maybe I should bring up the impression again.
Is it too soon?
But you know, it was a thing. I was thinking, oh, she's never going, and I feel the same with Attenborough, that he should never go. We should find a way, however it is, whether we like AI by now, we should be able to, you know, robotize him. We should,
right?
You know, we should be able to replace his vital organs with computer chips or something, just to make sure that, because I watch a lot of nature programs and they try out different people doing the narration. Like David Tennant does a lot. He's a cracking actor, David Tennant, but he's not going to be a replacement for David Attenborough. They try.
Oh, I'm not sure anyone could.
Well, this is the problem, you see. So basically, when Attenborough, when that day finally, well, let's not even go, you know, let's not even consider it, but there will come a time. I mean, really, that's the end of natural history on television, isn't it? We can't be having anyone else do it.
Well, bless him. I mean, he's had such a long and coloured career that I imagine that he's probably covered every animal. There's nothing else we need to know about. I think he's covered it.
But what worries me is that when he's no longer around, you know, the way television has gone and the way the cult of celebrity is gone, it'll be fucking Ryland doing it, won't it? Turn it on, there's just these white teeth standing next to a gibbon, you know, just
speaking of him, have you heard of this is the level he's at. Have you heard what his latest show is going to be?
No.
It's basically, I don't know what the name of it is. It's probably, like it says on the tin, it probably is just called Dating Naked. But it's basically filming people going on first dates. Everyone's completely naked. Nothing's blurred. Nothing's uncensored. And I thought, really?
It's been
really?
Done. Channel 4 do all that. They've had Naked Attraction for years, haven't they? It's been done. Oh. God's sake. This is why Attenborough can't go. This is why he has to, because at least with him, you've got some semblance of intelligent television.
I mean, I'm hoping this is some sort of Channel 4 venture. I'm hoping this isn't under my license fee I'm paying for this crap.
The thing about all these dating shows, I mean, I only ever see bits of dating shows on Gogglebox when I watch Gogglebox, and there just seems to be fucking hundreds of them. Does nobody date in a conventional fashion anymore? Is it always, oh, you know, love at first sight, married at first sight, dating in the dark? There's fucking hundreds of them. Oh, the other one, the dreadful one, MILF Manor. Honestly, yes. MILF Manor is an actual television program that somebody is paying to produce.
It sounds like a murder mystery porno, doesn't it?
Yes.
That took place at MILF Manor.
It just, oh, it depresses me, Ben. It really depresses me, and I despair for the future generations who are going to have to watch this dreadful tripe that just keeps on growing. You know, I think back in the sort of, I don't know, in the 90s, when cable television all sort of burst onto the scene, and, you know, the older generation at the time, like, well, I mean, all this is going to do is breed shit television. They weren't wrong, were they? They really weren't wrong. In some ways, we were better with four, just the four channels. I mean, Channel 5 came along, and it's mainly shit, although that does have some decent stuff on. But let's just go back to the four channels. Because I spend most of my time, and I'm sure you're the same, I'm sure everyone's the same. How much time do you waste flicking through stuff? Even on Netflix. I mean, if I watch a movie with my family, if I go to spend some time with my family, we often watch a movie, we can sometimes spend half an hour flicking through stuff. No, that looks shit. No. No, that looks awful. No, not seen that. It was shit. And you think, why am I paying for this? But we do. We've all fallen into the trap. There we go. We're all victims of our own ridiculousness.
So the long and short of it is we need David Attenborough to stay alive forever.
Stay alive.
Or if not, at least until this podcast goes up, because otherwise you've got a hell of an edit on your hands. So Trev, I had another slightly strange encounter in the glorious land of East Grinstead.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we all know that the people you meet there are of a type.
Yes, I think that's a gentle way of putting it. It was kicking off in the local supermarket.
Was it a fight between the Scientologists and the Mormons?
No, it was
facing off, because that's a television I would pay to see. I mean, there's one, maybe in the different religions having actual fist fights in supermarket car parks. Why not? Let's have the Catholic Church against the Christadelphians in the local Asda car park.
And if you've got Ryland's number, I'll give him a call.
He'd fucking present it, wouldn't he? Any old shit going. I'm not quite sure the Buddhists would be up for the fight.
So it wasn't them, no. It was one of those fine people that give East Grinstead the reputation it's got. Let's put it that way.
Okay, all right.
And I saw the supermarket security sort of buzzing around this woman. She was claiming that she was being extremely unfairly treated, and I know who this woman is. I won't give you her name.
How do you know who this woman is?
Well, because she knows me, and I'm...
How does she know you, Ben? We need to get to the bottom of this. Is Mrs. Ben aware of your relationship with this woman?
I wouldn't call it a relationship. It's more that she likes to talk to the local people in East Grinstead, and unfortunately I am paid to walk around East Grinstead, so by the law of averages I have bumped into a
few
times.
It's like an episode of Pigeon Street walking around. Do you remember Pigeon Street? Oh, so going back to pigeons, do you remember that?
I don't remember Pigeon Street.
If you lived in Pigeon Street, here are the people you would meet. Here are the people who would say hello. Anyway, Pigeon Street.
I've never heard of this show. When was it on?
You probably weren't born when Pigeon Street was on. Long Distance Clara was a star of the show. Anyway.
Never heard of that either.
That's what it sounds like East Grinstead is like, Pigeon Street.
And so I got to overhear what was going on. And she then confirmed to me, I didn't ask, she just sort of recognised me and started talking at me. And the reason she was being hassled by the security was because she had spent too long on her phone texting her fiancé. And the security didn't like that, so they were trying to eject her from the building. And I thought,
how long has she been texting? I mean, well, for that to become an issue for supermarket security, I mean, it must be hours.
So the voice inside my head said, "I don't believe you." The words that came out of my lips were, "Oh, that's awful," because I thought, I don't need the conversation with you today. It turns out I heard her ranting in a different place. I bumped into her again. And it turned out that she claimed, the story had completely changed. She claimed that she had been given the wrong change from quite a large sum of money she'd handed over, and she wanted access to the security footage so that she could see if they'd made a mistake and they owed her a lot of money. So after she left, I started talking to the people she was talking to. I said, that wasn't her original story. She was originally telling me that it was because she was spent too long texting her fiancé. And someone said to me, oh, do you know about her fiancé? I said, no.
Okay. But you're interested, aren't you? You're interested.
I'm being drawn in. I'm a very nosy person. And I said, what, should I? Said, well, she claims her fiancé is Robert Plant.
Robert Plant?
The lead singer of Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant.
Wow.
And I thought, I don't believe that's true.
Unlikely. I'm going to look up whether Robert Plant lives in East Grinstead.
Our local supermarket has been getting on my nerves recently anyway. I've told you about my fury at slowness in supermarkets before.
Yes, I mean, obviously, I know that certainly in the... when you used to smoke, you used to get quite annoyed while queuing up for cigarettes.
Yeah, and I had a similar thing this week when I was queuing up at the same cigarette kiosk. Oh, my God. It's the lack of awareness some people have. There was another, a different woman, not the crazy woman. There was a different woman who was standing there, middle of the day, on a Saturday, with a queue of about 8 people behind her. She's paid and she's decided now is the time to strike up a conversation with the member of staff and tell them in detail what her son's homework assignment is.
Oh, God. I mean, come on. Like you say, self-awareness. I know I sound like such an old man on such a constant basis, but I was out in London the other day and I rarely go into London anymore. And it was a rush hour as well. And I remembered how fucking awful the experience is of being at a busy train station during rush hour. And the mobile phone is the demon in that situation. The number of people not looking where they're going because they've got their eyes on their phone, or dawdling, going so fucking slowly because they're doing something on your phone. It's London. You've got to walk with purpose. That's always been the case. Move quickly. That can't be that important. Whatever you're doing isn't that important. Get a fucking move on.
And
they have no self-awareness that they're causing a pile up behind them.
I was thinking I might, because sometimes I might start huffing or making some audible grunts,
right,
just
okay,
to sort of get the point across I'm displeased with this.
Yeah.
Because also, I've got a 20-minute window for my lunch break here, and I'm having to waste it stood behind you, rattling on about your son's algebra. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Shut up. Piss off. The red mist was starting to set in.
Yeah.
And I thought, this used to be a pet peeve of mine. Now it's set. I didn't know what to do. I thought, I can't. Well, because I'm in my work gear. I can't start swearing and kicking
kick
off.
No.
I thought, can I phone Robert Plant? I need to do something.
By the way, Robert Plant lives in Worcestershire. That's not to say he's not in a relationship with a woman in East Grinstead, but it does just put a little more doubt on the story. That's what I'm saying.
I did check. He isn't married. He was married, but he's been divorced a long time ago.
So, you know, it's not out of the question. Maybe part of the reason she's had to be spending a lot of time on the phone to him is the long distance relationship. She, you know, maybe she needs long distance Clara to give her a lift up there, or Ryland to present some sort of show. Long distance relationships.
To be fair, if Robert Plant, lead singer of Led Zeppelin, started texting me in Sainsbury's, I probably would spend longer than average standing still looking at my phone thinking, what the hell's going on here? And the security might get their interest piqued. So it's a plausible story, maybe, after all.
Yeah, but no, but what I'm saying is it would have to be such a long time for it to become a thing for the security, wouldn't it? I mean, how long... If you think you're a security man at Sainsbury's, it's probably not the best paid job in the world, right? Maybe it's a very dull job, so you're desperately looking for things to do. But if you saw someone standing just on their phone for a period of time, would you think, oh, hang on a minute, that needs to be investigated? I'd better go and have a look. Maybe
no,
after
I think her story was complete bollocks. I think it was complete rubbish. I think she was just looking for an excuse to crowbar in that she's apparently engaged to Robert Plant.
Wow.
By the way, I don't think supermarket security is a particularly boring job. I think since the cost of living crisis and the shoplifting has gone through the fucking roof, I think they're rushed off their feet, these people.
Well, I mean, it's extraordinary the things that are now in those locked plastic containers, you know, cheese and butter, meat, you know, they've got to all be unlocked at the counter now because people are going and nicking that sort of stuff. I mean, who'd have thought that those sort of things would become such a commodity?
This is such a depressing sign of the time and also my own existence. I got genuinely excited the other day when I was in the same supermarket and they put an announcement over the tannoy. This weekend only,
yeah.
The normally £4.50 bottles of tomato sauce, £4.50, they're reduced to £2.
Oh, so I'm, God, I must have been a stampede.
I was ahead of the stampede. I was leading the stampede. I picked up, actually, I'm not one of those arseholes who would just clean off the shelves. I took two bottles. I thought that was reasonable. But I thought, how tragic that my life has become, where I'm now genuinely thrilled that a bottle of red sauce is at a fairly reasonable price.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's the world. I'll tell you what I had the other day, and it's a bit of an aside. I'd had a real urge, a real pang for tin spaghetti. I haven't had tin spaghetti for years, right?
Four pack of that will cost you £4.50 in certain supermarkets.
Well, I only bought the one tin of it. What a disappointment it was. I had great memories of it as a kid. Oh, yeah, spaghetti on toast. That was a staple when I was a kid. And I really had this real, oh, I'm going to really enjoy this. And it was really disappointing. And then I saw that there's a thing. They've got, it's the same company, Heinz. They've got, is it a carbonara now? Pasta carbonara in a tin.
Now, I'm going to get sued by the good people at Heinz. All I'm going to say is I can't imagine how shit that must be.
Well, it doesn't look nice from what I've seen. It looked very gloopy. I sort of feel like Heinz have got enough going for them. They don't need to be coming up with new stuff. Stick with your 57 varieties. That's more than enough for one company to have.
Does that mean they're going to have to change all the labelling now if they've come up with a bottle of carbonara? Is that the 58th one?
58th one.
That's going to cost them a fortune. The ketchup prices are going to go through the roof now to compensate for this loss.
Ben, do you know what generation you fall under? Are you Generation Z, Millennial?
Well, I think I'm a Millennial.
You're a Millennial. So I'm not sure where I am. I think I might be X, but I'm not entirely sure where.
Now, what was your year of birth? I'll find out for you.
1977.
Well, I just discovered something we have in common, my friend. You are also a Millennial.
Am I?
Millennials, also known as Gen Y, Echo Boomers, and Digital Natives, were born from approximately 1977 to 1995.
Wow.
You're one of me?
That doesn't make sense, because I'm not as whiny and snowflakey as most Millennials. It doesn't make
I thought you were going to say me, then. I was about to be all whiny and snowflakey about it.
I'm lumping you in with that group. Yeah, wow, there we go. So I am a millennial. But I've never fully understood it. But the latest generation are Generation Alpha.
Oh, right, okay.
So when was Generations X and Z? I was convinced I was a Generation X or Z. When were they?
Maybe you should Google it, because I think, well, A, my search history is getting weirder and weirder. And B, I think it's... I'm beginning to think maybe there's been a mistake made, because I found it hard to believe that you're in the same as me.
Yeah, see, this comes up with Generation X being from the mid-60s, from 1965 to 1980, which, so I'd be Generation X. So I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
So everything my phone tells me is just a lie, then, is it?
It's just a lie. I'm beginning to doubt the pigeon feathers.
I'm telling you, it was a vitamin deficiency.
So anyway, Generation Alpha. The group now, I'm assuming that's sort of anyone born within the 21st century, I'm assuming that's where we're at. But as with every generation, they've got their own words.
So I suppose we should try and learn what these things mean so we know if we're being dissed, as the kids probably don't say anymore.
I don't think that's what I've got a feeling we've done this before. We've gone through some words in the past that we've tried to learn, but I think all those words are gone now. So there's a whole new list. And I get it in music now, you know, with my job, I sometimes have to edit songs, as you know, and I do have to check words that I don't know, because in the urban dictionary, they mean something violent or disgusting normally. So you have got to be aware that these words crop up. And you go, well, I don't know what it means, but I've now got to find out what it means. And generally in music, they are filth or violence.
Are you obliged to take them out if that's what they mean, but if they're not proper words?
Yeah, because you can't have a word that might reference stabbing someone or shooting someone or doing some...
So, like, you couldn't have the word shank in a song, for example?
No, that would need to be removed. You can't have that sort of thing.
Really?
And there's loads of these words that crop up and you think, I don't know what that means. And you look it up and it means to shoot or to stab or there'll be some other disgusting thing. You go, well, I can't have that in the song. So yeah, there's a lot of words you've got to try and get to grips with.
But hang on a minute. You and I are both... by the way, this isn't meant to sound like I'm being big-headed or bragging, because believe me, this is not a brag. We have both been through radio training and we are familiar with the words that you can and can't say on the radio.
Yes.
It's a good fun game. And I don't remember seeing anything like that on that big list of Ofcom banned words.
No, it's very true. But what I work on is global, and you have to be aware that other nations have other rules about language and things. So I recently, this is really dull, by the way, so I'm not going to dwell on this because people are listening to this thinking, well, come on, entertain us. But I want to tell you that I had a massive thing through recently, which was all the rules of Jamaican broadcasters.
And wow.
They are even stricter than our broadcast regulations, so you have to just be very, very careful.
That really surprises me. I'm hoping I'm not wandering into inadvertent racism here, but I thought that the Jamaicans were a famously laid back, relaxed nation of people.
Not according to their broadcast codes. So. So, anyway. Back to the words.
Yes.
So I have got a list of Generation Alpha slang words, and I thought I'd put them to you and see whether you could guess or work out or even know what they are.
Okay, try me.
Okay, first one is GYAT, spelt G-Y-A-T-T.
Can we play it like it was a spelling bee? Can I ask you to use it in a sentence?
Okay. Oh my.
Yes, if you could use the modern word in the most sort of old-timey context with the rest of the sentence, that'd be great.
Oh my, isn't that a voluptuous giat?
And it's pronounced giat.
Well, I don't know exactly.
Or you don't know.
It could be giat. It's G-Y-A-T-T or sometimes spelt G-Y-A-T, but I'm assuming giat.
From the context you've used, I'm going to say it's an arse.
Yeah,
look at that voluptuous arse.
It's used to express strong excitement or just admiration of seeing a very large bottom.
Yes. Okay. I wouldn't have got it without the context. Would Giat get past your editing on the radio?
I think that would be okay. I have to take ass out.
Oh, I think Giat might have to go then if you can't say Giat. Ass.
Giat might have to go. I recently had to take two asses out of a song last night. Right, next one, Riz.
Oh, I know this one. This is charisma, right?
Charisma, yes.
There you go. I don't know why I know that. I must be spending too much time on TikTok. But, yeah.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? That I bet you've learned that from TikTok. That's where these words are probably finding their home, and that's where they're building from. So I don't watch TikTok at all.
I would advise you to stay that way. It is such an annoying, and I'm slightly vaguely addicted to it. I just sit there scrolling for hours, and then I get so cross with myself. I think I just wasted 3 hours of my life mindlessly scrolling through this dross for the occasional funny video. And I've rage quit two or three times and deleted the whole app and deleted my account.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks go by and I find myself at a bus stop with nothing to do.
Oh, and then you're back.
I think, oh, well, I've got to kill a few minutes here. So download TikTok and off I go again for another few months of drivel.
To think you could use those few minutes to, I don't know, learn about pigeons or something, you know, really something useful.
Honestly, if I replace the time I spent on TikTok learning a foreign language or doing micro-learning or doing something useful, I'd be a genius in something else by now. Although if I wasn't on TikTok, I wouldn't have got that question right. So it has got a fringe benefit there. So what's the next word?
Mewing.
Mewing?
Mewing.
Now, to me, that's when a cat is meowing. It's mewing, right?
Yeah, well, that's how I would understand the word mewing. But
okay, so maybe does it have... does it apply to human beings?
Yes, it does.
Maybe it means someone's being affectionate towards you if they're mewing about you, like because they're purring or...
Oh,
they're...
I see. That's a nice
obviously,
thought.
That's not right. No, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what mewing is to start with. Mewing is the act of pressing your tongue to the roof of your mouth to create a more defined jawline. I'm not sure doing that does create a more defined jawline, does it?
Sorry, but just to test a theory, just relax for a minute and don't say anything whilst I talk.
Yeah.
Now, don't you find, and listeners can do this as well, this is a great bit of content, don't you find that your resting position for your tongue is already touching the top of your mouth?
No. That's an interesting thing. Where does your tongue naturally rest? Mine doesn't. Mine rests below the lower teeth. Mine sits in the bottom of the mouth.
Really? No, that's not... No, it can't.
Yes. Well, so when you're not talking, your tongue rests automatically touching the roof of your mouth.
Yes, it does. I think that's normal.
That doesn't feel normal to me.
Google it. This is the podcast where every question gets Googled.
Wow.
Well, where does the tongue naturally rest?
Like, is that a thing? You know, like some people can't curl their tongue. You know, that's a genetic thing. Can you curl your tongue?
I can curl my tongue.
Right, so I can as well. Maybe there's a genetic thing about where your tongue rests. Like maybe if you're... maybe it depends on what genus of primate you evolved from.
I've just Googled it again. Sorry to Google in my search history. According to the AI, when your tongue is at rest, it should be gently touching the roof of your mouth,
really?
Just behind your front teeth and not pressing against your teeth. So I'm right and you're the one that's backwards.
Well, yeah, because my tongue doesn't do that. Mine sits sort of at the... Maybe mine's just fucking lazy. My tongue just goes, I'm not working, I'm done. You lay at the bottom of the mouth. Just stay there and do fuck all. So anyway, if you put it into... So maybe if you're rest, if you're at rest, if you're not talking and your tongue is naturally touching the roof of your mouth, you've already got a more defined jawline by definition.
I guess that's why people think of me as a very chiselled jawed man.
I mean, if I do that, then I end up doing the whole Bruce Forsyth thing, don't I? The moment the chin elongates in any way, shape or form, I can't help myself. There it goes. So I can't, maybe that's part of the problem. If I rest with my tongue, okay, it's just automatically, I'm just doing that the whole time.
See, the Jimmy Hill, I was going to say, I was thinking of my chin and I said Jimmy Hill. It's not Cockney rhyming slang, it's just someone with a big chin. The Bruce Forsyth impression for me, that comes out, I have to sort of jut the chin out a few inches first and sort of the head goes back, the chin goes forward. That's how it all begins for me.
That's interesting, the Jimmy Hill thing, like, did you used to do that at school if you thought someone was talking bullshit? And we used to, it was either Chinny or Jimmy Hill.
Yeah.
Chinny, chin. I mean, I think effectively this is what the younger generation are doing, ironically, with mewing, because apparently teenagers will... Now, see, here's the thing I don't know. We'll make the shush hand signal. I'm assuming that's your finger in front of your lips.
Yeah. Right?
And then they'll trace their finger along their jaw with a pouted expression. And then this gesture is used to basically avoid answering a question as they're too busy mewing. So I don't really understand why that's ironic.
I still don't really understand what that means.
No. So maybe it's the fact that... Oh, I don't know what it is. See, we've got a definition of it and I still don't understand it.
I'm getting to be an old man now, and that's because I'm a millennial, but I tend to... And this is bad news for the feature on the podcast, but I tend to not understand nor care about the future generations and what they're up to, because it bores me.
All right, well, let's do a couple more. Simp.
I know what this means.
It's just another TikTok... education.
Being a simp, it's something you do for someone else, isn't it? It's like being a fanatic, being obsessed with, being a fanboy, you're a simp for someone. I don't know what it means, but that's, I think I'm right in saying that, aren't I?
It says here displaying excessive attention or affection towards someone else, but
fanatic,
often when those feelings aren't reciprocated. So it's like if you're a simp, you're the one doing all the, you know, doting on someone and they're not interested.
Yeah, I knew Riz and I knew Simp so far.
Okay. NPC.
But I know that one again.
Oh, see, you are more Generation Alpha than you thought.
That's a non-playable character.
non-playable character. What does that... Is that, well, that's obviously computer game speak.
It is computer game speak. It's sort of like a... I can't really... It's hard to describe. It's kind of like you're the main character in your own life.
Okay.
And all the other people that sort of are in your life who are just sort of there in the background doing their own thing, they're all NPCs. They're non-playable characters.
Okay.
What's the explanation you've got for it?
Well, it says here it can be used as an insult to refer to someone who lacks critical thinking and follows a herd mentality.
Yeah, so they're not really a main player. They're just part of the game.
Right.
The game being existence. So they're a they're an NPC. They're a non-playable character.
They're sheep,
basically. They're background noise. Yeah.
What my generation would have called the sheep, just the followers.
I guess
of the herd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Aura. A-U-R-A. Now, you see, that to me would suggest you have an aura of invincibility about you, or a positive aura, or a beautiful aura.
Yeah, I would say so. I would have, this is when I'm being sort of dragged back towards your generation now, because I would agree with that. If someone has a nice aura around them, or they give off a friendly aura. So it clearly isn't going to mean that, because the youth have got hold of it.
Well, no, I think it does. It sort of does, really. You can refer to people who exhibit weird or cringy behaviour, Ben. I don't mean to point the finger and say they have a negative aura. So, I mean, it is basically
That's the same word. That's not a new word. Don't you think they've come up with the word aura?
Yeah, no, I think they think they've invented it.
You know what else annoys me that I'm hearing more and more, and I hear it, again, I hear it a lot on TikTok. I don't know if this is on your list or not. And I think it is possibly the correct use of the word, but it pisses me off because it doesn't sound right in my head. It's when people say, oh, I love it. Look at the aesthetic. And now,
yes,
I know that's probably the right use of that word, but it's not. Doesn't sound right in my head. In my head, it should be, that's something I find aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
Not look at the aesthetic. It just doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't feel like that's being used in the right way.
No. I've even heard this being said, oh, look, it's so aesthetic. And I think, so aesthetic what? So aesthetically
yes.
What? And I might be completely wrong. It might be a completely fair and correct use of the word. I find it jarring in my own head. I always cringe when I hear it.
I tell you one thing that I don't like to hear, and that's when people say, "I ain't got no whatever." You know,
I ain't got no double negative.
Because double negatives. Is that not taught anymore? Because that's something that the youth use a lot. You know, I ain't done nothing. Well, that means you've done something.
If someone came up to me and said, Ben, I ain't got no drugs,
all right,
I'm not about to pull him up on his grammar, to be honest.
Right, I'm going to give you one more. No cap.
No cap means something which I'm telling you, it's not a lie. No cap, it's not a lie, it's the truth.
So you do know this shit, don't you? You do know it.
Yeah, I do know that for some reason. Again, I think fucking TikTok. But yeah. Cap, saying something's cap is to say it's false.
More riz than you thought.
Sorry?
You've got more riz than you thought.
Oh, see, you saying that to me, I thought, what did you just say? That's because you're in the wrong generation. It didn't sound right coming out of your mouth at all.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. Got anything for us this week?
I do. It's going to be very niche. If you're not a wrestling fan, you won't care at all.
Here we go.
But if you, and speaking of generational things, this is a podcast which covers my favourite generation of wrestling, which is the Attitude Era.
What does that mean?
Wrestling went through a sort of phase in the sort of late 90s, which referred to itself as the Attitude Era.
Okay, all right.
And the guy who was one of the sort of lead, he doesn't like to be called a writer, but booker, or probably doesn't like to be called a booker either. So the guy who sort of did a lot of the behind-the-scenes writing, even though he wouldn't like to have it called that, Tommy Blotcher, very, very funny guy. If you're into the Attitude Era or wrestling in general and you want to hear some funny behind-the-scenes stuff about that, then get the Tales from the Attitude Era podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, that's niche.
And now that anyone who is not a wrestling fan, you can stop fast-forwarding and Trev's going to recommend some stuff now.
I've got a couple of things to recommend. As always, I've got a true crime thing to recommend. This one's an extraordinary story. This is on Netflix. It's called The Devil on Trial.
Ooh.
And it's about this family who seem like a normal American family, except for one thing. Their 11-year-old son, David, says he's possessed by the devil, and the devil wants his soul.
Christ. It's a bit full on.
It is quite full on, and it's quite disturbing. Some of the I think there's some audio of exorcisms, and it's quite distressing at times. And clearly, the young lad is, you know, disturbed in many ways. But basically, there was a sort of thing to that they almost had to try and prove that it was the devil that that had possessed their son. So it's all about what they sort of put forward as evidence that it was the devil. It's an extraordinary story.
Do exorcists still exist? I mean, it's not something you're going to find on Checker Trade, is it? Where do you find an exorcist if you need one?
Well, often it's a vicar, isn't it? Often it's a vicar. I think they have to have had certain training to do exorcisms. But yeah, vicars from churches and priests, they'll be your exorcists.
Do you think it really still happens anymore?
Yeah. No, people still use exorcists and get vicars to come and exorcise places. I've heard of it, you know, happening.
Bizarre. Yeah,
and certainly within some religious parts of the world, it's used a lot when people believe that you know, someone's been possessed by the devil, and you know, it doesn't always end well. It's, you know, it's pretty brutal stuff in some places. So yeah, to answer your question, it still happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm going to recommend is a film. It's on Sky Cinema at the moment. It's a really odd film. It's called He Went That Way. It's based very loosely, I think, on a true story. It's the story of a man who's travelling across the States with his pet chimpanzee, who is a celebrity animal, right? But then he picks up a hitchhiker, only to discover this hitchhiker is a serial killer.
Blimey! Some bad luck.
And it's about the sort of bond that they build, and how the animal trainer works with the killer to save his own life, really. And it's based on a true event. I don't know how much truth is in the film. It does say at the start something like, this is all true-ish or something. But at the end of the film, they have an interview with the man who was the animal trainer. There was some truth to that. It's an extraordinary story.
Sounds it. He didn't try and kill the chimp, did he?
No, but he did threaten to.
Oh, God. Wow, what a bizarre story.
Yeah, it's really good that it's called He Went That Way. It's on Sky Cinema at the moment. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Bill on X. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.